All right, ready? Come on, man, this is what I do. Yo, mic check. Mic check. Yeah, there you go. Now over here. Yeah, I heard he got the hot new thing. It's called Switch. Let's get it going. Tom Attack.
Okay, that was an incredibly forced introduction, but never mind. Apt all the same. Yep. How are you doing, Thomas
Indeed.
Barry?
I'm feeling rather proud that I put the music to Switch over the Switch trailer and put it on YouTube.
Clever man. No one, I'm sure, has made that same joke.
Well, they have. But yeah, has anyone else put it up? I decided not to look, to be honest, because I'd already partly done it, and I was like, well, I'm doing this now. I don't want to... find out someone else has done it before me.
That's fair enough. Taxi the Cat is looking at us confused at our little musical outburst, but it's okay.
Please, listeners, check it out. Go on YouTube. Find the improved version of the Switch trailer. Yeah. So what is the Switch? It's a new Nintendo console. Everyone's talking about it.
They're switching it up. Did you see what they did? They did a beta
Switch.
They
got the hot new thing.
There's lots of Switch puns I could make. They turned on the Switch, and it was perfectly good. Right, got all those out of my system.
Switched from the Wii. They switch over their branding. Yeah. Well, what I mean is the Wii branding they've used for a while now. It was getting a bit old. It's fresh. It's new. It's portable. It's a home console.
It's hip and down with the kids.
It really is hip. And it would have been more hip if they used that Will Smith song on the trailer.
I don't know.
It's a bit naughty. It's a bit naughty, though, that song. It's got something about injecting something into your veins. So,
maybe that's what Nintendo wants. Maybe they literally want you to put it into you. I mean, look at that trailer, man. That guy on the park bench and his poor dog is just like, why didn't this fucker play with me? He's taking me out and he's not even doing anything. He's playing on a games console.
Also, the girl goes around the friend's party and brings a games console.
It's just like, oh,
I don't want to socialize.
Oh, fuck.
I know, but gaming is socializing. You'll play a little bit of whatever.
Yeah, look incredibly Mario. Awkward doing it. That controller, I'm not going to lie to you, looks small. Right, okay. We'll get into what the thing is before I start breaking
Everyone
it down.
Everyone knows what it is now, don't they?
I think so, but just in case. You know, there are some of our listeners who are more retro-focused. I'm sure they will have seen the Nintendo Switch on their social media platforms. But just in case. Essentially, what it is, ladies and gentlemen at home, is pretty much a small tablet-like device with two little controllers either side of it. It regularly looks a bit like the Wii U gamepad. Mm. However,
the sides come off.
They do. You can dock it, so it'll go on your TV, and then you can pull off the sides and either use them like Wiimotes, or you can put them in a shell-like controller called a Joy-Con.
Joy-Con? Isn't that what the Namco driving controller was called?
I believe it was, yeah, but they've stolen it. They've taken it back.
Something like that, if it's not exactly the same.
Yeah, and it seems to also have a few other ways you could play with it. There's a pro controller from what we've seen, and I think that's pretty much everything covered, right? You can have it as nunchucks. Oh, no, actually, no. The thing from the trailer that I was making fun of was actually if you wanted to play two-player, so you were playing something like Mario that doesn't require a lot of buttons, the two controllers that you would use like a Wiimote in the demo that they were showing on the thing,
when you say
Skyrim.
Wiimote, they haven't mentioned anything about motion controls.
No, they
it's
haven't.
Just you hold them in both hands.
And
like
I think it's a safe assumption there probably isn't any motion control in that console.
Unless there's a gyroscope in it.
Well, perhaps, but I mean, there's no wrist straps, is what I'm thinking. If they
that's
wanted
true.
You to do anything like that,
that's
they would surely have
that's
to tether
a good point.
It to you.
I never
you.
Thought about that. No wrist straps.
They're being very adamant to say, though, whether or not there's a touchscreen in the controller.
They've been very adamant to say that
against saying, sorry.
Oh, against
They've neither confirmed nor denied that there's touch sensibilities in
there. I mean, a tablet device with no touchscreen seems weird. Even the Vita has a touch screen.
Yeah, I mean, but anyway, this controller, you can turn it around, so if you and I were playing Thomas and I only had my one Switch with us, I could go, hey, you take the left side of this screen's controller off, I'll take the right side, and then we could play Mario, or we could play kids playing it, Super Mario
rather
Kart.
Rather than and, one of the sides having traditional D-pad, it's got a four-button setup similar to the C buttons on the N64.
Yes.
So both sets of controllers have four face buttons that you can use.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. But those, when attached to the controller, those four face buttons on the left could be directional buttons.
Yes, I assume so.
Not very good for playing Street Fighter with them.
No, that's true.
But there is a D-pad on the Pro controller.
Yes.
It's very grey, black-looking console. I expect something a bit more colourful from Nintendo, but perhaps, you know...
I think it looks cool. I mean, I've not really been that bowled over by either the design of the Wii or the Wii U, to be honest with you. I think their last sexy console was GameCube for me.
It's in keeping with the tradition of making small consoles. I know Nintendo have stated in the past that they've always wanted to make small consoles to fit into the Japanese home, to not be too, you know... taking up a lot of space.
No, I mean,
say.
Obviously, and I mean,
been saying that,
it
yeah.
was a definite consideration, judging from what I read on Kotaku about a year into the Wii U's launch.
Why
from
they made it
some
so
people,
small.
That they wanted it to be soundless and seamless, and they just wanted it to fit there in the home and not bother mum, was the argument they were using.
Also, that probably would say why the Wii U wasn't more powerful than it was, you know, because also, usually, a more powerful console will mean a bigger console.
Yes.
Until they manage to scale it down.
No, that's true, and I mean, every hardware generation we are seeing better and better handhelds. I mean, you just have to look at the Vita. That thing's got some amazing graphics on it when it tries. This, though, I'm not really looking that much of a step up from the
Wii
U.
We don't know. This is the thing. I've heard something about the graphics card that it's using is a custom NVIDIA graphics.
Yeah.
I could be wrong in that. I can't remember the terminology.
This is what I hear. It is a custom NVIDIA card.
But at the minute, there's two cards it could be. One is to the lower end of the power, about 20% I've heard of the PS4 and Xbox One.
Yeah.
The other leans more towards 80% of the power of that. And
I would assume it would be that.
It could be somewhere in between. It could be more up. It could be more than 80%. I don't know. Let's hope that this console is powerful enough to have games ported from the other consoles onto it. I'm sure Nintendo would, you know, appreciate that ability.
Yeah,
it's what shot them in the foot slightly with the Wii U and developers.
Well, no,
it wasn't
so much the power of the console. It was the thing that got them with the Wii U was much like all of Nintendo's other consoles, is that while Microsoft and Sony went towards making the architecture of their consoles more like a PC, Nintendo made their own architecture. And so it meant that you needed to essentially recode games from the ground up.
Yeah, I remember hearing about this when the Wii U came out, that developers had been talking about how difficult it was to port their games to the Wii U.
EU apparently sent back their dev kits after their first games launched because they didn't want anything to do with how difficult it was to make games for them. So it seems like an odd thing if they're going to go that direction again, but I don't think they will. My actual thought about how this hardware is going to work is that Nintendo are probably going to try and replace your tablet, I think.
My tablet?
Any tablet, I think. I think about...
Well, they've got to have touchscreen if they're going to replace
the
tablet.
I think they will. I think that's why they're
web browser on it. It could be used like a
I think
tablet.
App Store, even. Yeah. I think it will have fully functionality that you could find within an iPad or an Android device.
Very much about this. When I was thinking, where could Nintendo go after the Wii U? I was thinking, well, you see people with phones now playing their games on their phones as opposed to on a DS or whatever. You know, if Nintendo made a Nintendo phone where they, you know, had... you know, could use the Android store there, but also develop their own games for it and have some sort of cartridge input for games.
Yeah.
So this is kind of similar, I guess, in a way. Rather than a phone, it's bigger, it's a tablet that will take its own proprietary card format.
Yeah.
But maybe, like you say, it will have an app store where you can actually purchase maybe Android or Apple. I know they're working with Apple, so they might
don't think they will have a specific... apps like a leaning to one or the other. I actually think that much like Apple, Nintendo will do their own closed architecture store.
Do you think Mario Run will be?
I 100% think it will. Yeah. I think judging from the rumors that were leaking about 5-6 months ago, I think also Miitomo and things like Pokemon Go will be on there.
If they want to appeal to a more casual gamer, then that would be a great way of doing that.
I think maybe it will be able to run similar codes to an Android platform or to iOS stuff. I think that's why maybe we were seeing rumors about 3 or 4 months back that this was actually Android based. I think that rumors actually be misconstrued, and I think that is actually the basis for some kind of app store within this car.
I think that would be a great direction for them to go in.
I think that they'll have to be more towards like an Apple ecosystem, though. I think Nintendo being Nintendo, they will try and lock down things, because imagine it, like, if you're on Android, you can buy emulators for Super Nintendo things.
Oh, yeah.
You can. I think if they open that up, there will be no stopping people getting around their consoles.
So they have their own store, yeah, but that'll probably feature some apps you may be familiar with on your Apple store.
Oh, 100%. I have no doubt in my mind you'll be able to get things like not only the Nintendo apps, but I'm sure other things like Cut the Rope and Angry Birds and all of these other big names in app will probably... if Nintendo was smart, they will make a way that these companies can port these things to their apps. You can have your touchscreen app experience in-game, and then you can play solid-ass Nintendo games.
Yeah, and also maybe some of the apps would take advantage of the fact you've got controllers. Say if you download Sonic app, you know, and you don't have to then use the on-screen touch controls, you could maybe use the controls on the Switch.
Well, I've been thinking it's an inevitability for Nintendo to do some kind of Apple controller the more and more they start going into having iOS devices with the Nintendo brand. Now, I mean, Animal Crossing, can you imagine trying to control that? Like, you may be able to do it just fine with a digital analog stick, but it's not going to be as comfortable as having a full-on controller.
It may be what will persuade people to either go with rather the Switch to play their games that develop for the other platforms on the Switch, because the Switch will have real controllers.
Yeah, that's true.
That could make people purchase this rather than playing on the other devices. Yeah.
So speaking of games, from the trailer, it looks like a lot of perhaps Wii U ports or sequels that are
That was my feeling. At first I was thinking, as I think a lot of people have thought, oh, is this thing just a Wii U?
Yeah.
With a new functionality. What I've heard prior has said that no, this will be a more powerful console than the Wii U. It's not the same architecture or anything like that. But I do think that there is a chance it could feature improved Wii U ports, because unfortunately the Wii U didn't have the largest user base. This is their opportunity to introduce people who've not played like Smash Brothers or the latest whatever Mario Kart.
Yeah.
But then improve it slightly. What we saw in the trailer was we saw a bit of Mario Kart, but it didn't look exactly like Mario Kart 8.
No.
It actually had maybe another character. It had a two-weapon feature.
Two-weapon feature, yeah. That was the thing that struck me.
So I think it may be very similar to Mario Kart 8. It won't be reinventing the wheel, so to speak.
Zing!
But yes, it'll feel close but improved. And Smash Brothers is the same. I can't imagine they're going to bring out a new Smash Brothers game right away.
Maybe not. No, maybe you're right. And there was
the amount
rumors
of downloadable content that people would have purchased the Wii U version. You know, they'll maybe want to make a Game of the Year edition with all that content on or whatever. I don't know what they're going to do, really.
But, I mean, what did we see altogether? We saw Splatoon, which looked very much like Splatoon.
But apparently that's different as well.
Yeah, there was different guns and also hairstyles, I believe, on the inklings.
These are all very tiny things.
There are, but, I mean, I guess they're just there to symbolise, hey, this is a new thing.
Yeah.
Obviously, the most new-looking thing there was the Mario game.
Yeah.
Almost towards Super Mario Sunshine or Super Mario 64.
That's what it would appear to look like. It didn't look quite like Mario 3D World.
No, definitely not.
With the more isometric, higher place camera. This camera was situated behind Mario.
Yeah.
Which would imply that it's like Mario 64 or Sunshine or Galaxy. Yeah.
But I think that's pretty cool.
Well, we've been wanting a game like that for a while. I think they're long overdue. We didn't see a Mario game like that on the Wii U, so it's about time Nintendo made one.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, who's not to say if this is true and these things are just ports of Wii U games with a little bit more polish on top of them, that this wasn't in development for the Wii U in the first place. It's been long stated, Miyamoto said in an interview about a year back now that he'd already pretty much done Pikmin 4, so maybe Pikmin 4 was also in the works, and we'll see
I think there was probably a lot of, because Nintendo had been so quiet recently, only releasing a few games, that there were a lot of things in the works for Wii U, which they decided to move to Switch.
Yeah, of course.
Goes without saying, I think.
I mean, you look at the last Nintendo Direct, right, and you're like, okay, Woolly World, Super Mario Maker, games that perhaps didn't find an audience on the Wii U getting moved to a 3DS, which for me says that we probably won't see those on the Switch, and that the bigger hitters, the things like Splatoon and a new Mario game and Mario Kart, I think they will go to this platform.
Yeah. It's probably going to be Splatoon 2, isn't it? Probably that'll be cool if they just called it Splatoon 2.
I think it's got to be just called Splatoon, right? With a
Toon.
Yeah, instead of two O's, a W and an O-N.
Yeah, you'd imagine that would probably be the way they take it.
Hashtag Splatoon on Twitter.
Oh, ooh, everything's
going off
here. People are really trying to get in touch with me right now. I shall turn my ringers off.
Imagine you only had that one device, Tom, that was called Nintendo Switch, and could get you all on one place.
How about that?
That would be good.
So it does pose a question about the future of the 3DS, really. I think they're going to exist side by side for a while and gradually phase out the 3DS over time. I don't think it's going to happen straight away.
I was listening to a podcast earlier that made the actual point that you don't see children in that entire trailer playing.
That's true. And yeah, you'd think this also should be marketed to children because there's Mario on it, Mario Kart, these games that any age can enjoy.
Yeah,
kids can enjoy them, but they don't necessarily want to target the audience. They may focus on the 3DS for that particular demographic.
I mean, there could be two reasons for this. I mean, the one that immediately came into my head and why I didn't even think about the 3DS in this equation was the fact that, hey, this for me is them trying to appeal. This is the big splash. This is the first announcement. This isn't them directly marketing it. This is them revealing it. And the people who are going to share this on social media and get the most outreach aren't perhaps going to be kids.
It wasn't
it's going to be people like us.
Either.
No.
You know, rather than just kids, it wasn't families. That guy was living on his own with his dog.
Yeah.
That girl was living on her own. Those guys were out having fun, playing basketball, driving in their car, and the tournament thing. I don't know if Nintendo hinting at something they want to get involved with in the future. It'd be nice if it was, if it wasn't just something that looked cool in a trailer.
Yeah.
But if they actually go the extra mile and organise events.
Well, I mean,
events.
You know, things like Evo have Smash Bros. I mean, there are Splatoon tournaments and
but
stuff.
But a Nintendo-branded tournament.
That could be cool. Let's see what goes, though. I just look at it and go, okay, there's that direction, is that they're just looking, hey, this is just the splash, they're going to look for outreach on this, and people are going to go, hey, cool, look at this. I'm going to share this on Facebook, as a lot of us did. Or the second option, which is actually brought up on 84 Play, a fantastic giant bomb-related podcast, and they were saying that perhaps the reason they're not showing kids in the trailer is actually they're going to try and push kids towards the 3D and 2DS, the new Sun and Moon consoles
the
that are coming out.
Kids still want.
Yeah, of course they will, and I'm sure, I mean, it's an aspirational thing, right? You show things, like, I saw kids the other day playing, like, Vice City on the bus on their iPads.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. But, tut, tut.
You know, it is a thing. Kids will always want what they shouldn't or can't have, but, I mean, also most of the kids on that bus also had tablets. So if this could become their tablet and replace that, maybe that is a thing that could be interesting to a lot of parents.
I think, this is really for a wider audience than they showed in the trailer. It's interesting they didn't show a bigger demographic, though. They could have shown, you know, just 20-somethings, you know? And they could have shown a family. But they chose not to do that. It's sort of interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Because Wii was family, and then Wii U was, well, we want to direct this both at family, but also at, you know, the gamer, you know, the young, as I say, 20-something who...
Well, I think for me, this is the Wii U done right. I remember when we were speculating over the Wii U way back when, before the podcast, or was it? Yeah, it must have been before this podcast launched, right? The Wii U came out.
Well, this podcast has been going for a while.
It has.
But the Wii U was already out, I think, when
started
podcasting.
But just this idea of having a tablet-like device that you could play games on and take away from the TV. And obviously, it has a dock that attaches to the TV that Nintendo have confirmed it will have to be in to be played on the TV. There doesn't seem to be any streaming. It is literally
plug and play. Because that's the power, isn't it? Yeah.
It is the console. The console is the tablet.
Yeah.
So I think to stream it to the TV in any other way would probably be disingenuous and probably work as well as something like SharePlay does on the Vita, which is not great.
Yeah, it's interesting, not even an option, though, that you can't sit with the screen in your hands.
Why would you want to? Is my thing.
Well, you know, it's quite good for the Wii U to have those options, those touch-based options in front of you.
For certain games, yeah.
YouTube's great on the gamepad.
Yeah.
I'll miss that because I'll still use my Wii U for a while until they take YouTube off it, which I'll probably do at some point. They did with the Wii.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love to be able to have that and to be able to type in on it. quite easily and not have to use a controller.
I'm curious to see if the Joy-Con, that middle square bit of it, is actually a touchpad.
Mm.
Because that looks like a big square surface.
Yeah. There's so many questions, isn't there?
There is. I mean, they've revealed nothing. To be honest with you, the more pressing for me than absolutely anything, even price, I don't really give a shit. I'm going to pick one up regardless from
users. What do you think the price will be?
If they're clever, it will be somewhere around 200 to 300, I think. Everywhere keeps going 350, but I think that's way too much for what this is.
Nintendo have usually been all right with price, haven't they? I can't
Wii U cost
now.
Me 210. So
yeah,
I'm
Wii
hoping...
U came out at a reasonably affordable price, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I'm hoping it goes more that direction than anything else. But I mean, you know, 250, I think, will probably be the 250 to 300. But I
mean,
think...
how much is the VR? It can be up to
350 something.
Can it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I bailed out on it, because I didn't want
to
pay 350.
I'd love to have a go on
the
VR, but it's too much for that.
Yeah, it is what it is, right? But I look at it, and the most important thing to me is actually what you were kind of talking about with the tournament stuff.
Mm.
For me, the most important things right now are knowing, is it region locked? Are they going to stick to that? And the second thing is, how is the online going to be? Are they going to have stores? Are they going to have friends lists? Are they going to have their gamertag equivalent that actually works and makes sense, so you can make parties and play and stream and do these other things?
We're a little bit behind with that.
That needs to be in place for me. It also needs to be region free. I think the time and the place for them region locking their content is long gone. I mean, region lock your digital store by all means. That makes sense. I mean, everyone else does.
Yeah, it's not a huge deal.
But your physical media...
The other platforms that you... I don't know about the Xbox One, but I know PS4's...
Xbox One's region free.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. But we've talked about this before. The reason that 3DS is region locked, Wii U has no real reason, I guess, other than them not wanting people to import and play games cheaper.
Mm.
But the reason the 3DS is region locked, in my experience, though it's never been confirmed to me by anyone, is the fact that those consoles come with the store for that particular region on them, and so you can't get around that. Europe, you can set up within Europe, but the US is literally, hey, do you live in the
US
or
Mexico?
It's its
own region, yeah.
And when I even went some cities, it was just like, oh, I'll be from Mexico for a laugh, then I had no access to online content or whatever, so I couldn't even do that. I had to reset the 3DS to set it up for Alaska, because Alaska's cool.
So should we touch on battery life?
I guess we should, yeah. That's also another key concern, but less of one for me, because probably, to be honest with you, I'm probably going to play it at home most of the time anyways.
Mm. Yeah, well, you won't need to worry about the battery, I suppose, but the idea of this console is you can take it around with you, so battery life obviously is very important to this thing. I don't even know what the battery life should be on a 3DS. Do you know?
Battery life on a 3DS, I believe, is 9 hours.
It's probably less than that, then. Let's just hazard a guess.
I'm going to say 6. Yeah. I think if it's any lower than that, people start questioning it. I think it should be up to 8.
It's better than Game Gear, anyway.
Well, yeah. I mean, Game Gear is 15 minutes, though. I mean, anything is.
So, yes, they've got to get that right. And at least 6 hours, yeah, sounds like a safe bet. Exciting times, isn't it? Cartridge-based as well. Of course, this thing was...
Technically not cartridge-based.
Oh, I've been
technically
corrected.
It is
put in my place.
Well, I only do this because of H4 Play again. There's a whole kerfuffle on that podcast, them saying...
It's an SD card.
It's a card, not a cart.
Yes, okay.
And the interesting thing there is, and the why I make this thing and not just go cartridge, because we're going to call them cartridges anyway, is the advantage of a cartridge is there's no loading time, because it is literally loading all of the ROM from memory.
Yep.
A card has to be read.
Yes.
And so there will be loading times, unless they've figured out a way to get around that and circumvent it.
Hmm. They had to use a card system, though, anyway, didn't they? It was only one.
Yeah, of course
they
did. I mean, from a manufacturing perspective as well, I mean, they must have manufacturing plants in place that are producing these because of the 3DS and the DS before it.
Mm. And you can, I hear, put a lot on a card nowadays. So
you can.
It's not a storage issue.
You were telling me more than a Blu-ray, which is quite surprising.
That's what I'd heard.
Yeah.
I don't know how true that is, but I heard that online.
Interesting. Do you think it'll have SD cards for memory, or do you think it's going to have like an iPad?
Yeah, the memory thing is a really interesting thing, isn't it? I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be like at all. You say that thing's just a dock. There's no hard drive in them.
Doesn't seem to be that way.
There's a hard drive in the system, some sort of. But how, can it be that big? It's got to be big because.
Well, I mean, you know, like on an iPad, man, you can get. I think you can get like 500 gig iPads now.
It'll be a card system, won't it? The storage on the controller.
I hope it's more than 32 gig. If they launch with a very tiny. Well, maybe 32 gig is standard. Maybe there's different versions, but then that gets messy.
Oof.
It needs to be more than 32 gig.
But you won't have to install as much data, if any, off a card.
Hey,
you?
Man, you're still going to be buying downloadable titles. Yeah. You're not going to be buying everything on a card.
But
or a cartridge.
At least, you know, you won't have that space to, even if you download downloadable titles on your PS4, a large portion of the space you've got available is taken up with installing the game because the Blu-ray drive can't read fast enough.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, hey, man, like the install of Battlefield 1 that I just did was like 47 gig.
Yeah, I imagine it would be.
I mean, if they've got to do some kind of install for downloads of games like that, regardless of if it's bigger than what is on a Blu-ray.
How big Skyrim? If you wanted to download Skyrim.
I wouldn't even like hazard a guess at how big that game is if you were to download that onto your console.
Yeah.
It has to have, for me, it has to have good battery life, it has to have a decent online, yeah. And it definitely needs to have a decent amount of storage.
It's got to have a decent amount of storage. That's going to be a deal breaker, really, isn't it?
I think so. Especially if there's no way to upgrade that.
If you intend to download games off a store.
I think you're going to have to, though, surely.
I haven't downloaded many games on my Wii U, I have to say.
Because I would argue there's not many games available. How many have you downloaded on your PS4 and Xbox One?
A few.
Exactly.
But I try not
Mic
to
drop.
Download the big ones.
I try not to either, but we're in the minority.
The funny thing is, if you were to buy the disc version, it's still going to take up so much space, really, isn't it? Because
yeah, true.
It still has to install most of the data.
Yeah.
But there we go.
It's interesting.
What more can we say about it? I don't know. Have we forgotten anything? I have a question that could it be your only console? Is there a possibility, if you just wanted to have one console in your household, you could choose to have the Switch and have access to most of the games that will be available in the future.
All depends. I mean, you know, that sports trailer, the bit where the guys were like, yeah, let's finish playing basketball, now play digital basketball, isn't so much of a, hey, kids, look, isn't it fun to be outside and active and game with your friends? It's more, hey, look, we've got sports titles finally.
Will they be their own unique Switch versions, like the Wii had its own unique versions, or
possibly.
Will they be ports of the other console versions?
I think if Nintendo is smart, like I said, it will run off similar architecture to a PC, and they will be able to easily port those with slight graphical.
It poses the question,
downgrade.
How have they done it? How have they fitted all that into that tiny thing?
Yeah.
Without compromises. There's got to be some compromises somewhere.
I think they will. I think graphics will be where it will compromise the most, to be honest with you.
And I hope the screen's a good quality.
It has to be. I've heard the screen on the console somewhere like 990, but it's going to be 1080 output.
Yeah.
Like 1080p or i, whichever one's the higher, I can't remember. But it should be all right.
Are you going to get Zelda for the Switch or the Wii U?
I'm undecided. Apparently, I've heard a lot of people say, other than how great Zelda is, that there's a lot of slowdown in larger areas. If that is not present on this version of the game, perhaps I will.
Ah.
But I don't know.
So the Wii U version will not be as good as the
perhaps not.
Switch version?
And apparently there is no touch control in the Wii U version either, which is kind of leading me to suggest maybe there's no touch control in
but the Wii U one will end up probably being the more collectible version.
Definitely,
of the
game. I will probably pick it up, to be honest with you, because I don't want the same situation that I did with Twilight Princess, and then I didn't play it until it came out on the Wii U.
Yeah, I guess the factor would be for the Wii U version is it had touch control, but as you say, if it doesn't, then what is it in it between the two versions?
You can view a map on your second screen.
Yeah, I mean, one, you can take around with you.
Yeah, you know. And that's the main draw of this console for me. The fact that I can play something like Tokyo Mirage, and I could play it on the go, where I tend to play a lot of my RPGs these days, or when I get home, I can just plug it into the dock and carry on where I left off.
It's got a stand.
It does have a stand. I'm actually curious to see with arcade sticks, if they make like an arcade stick that can like click into the bottom of it or something, so you can have it like a mini arcade.
Oh, I love a little keyboard.
Yeah.
Just like a tablet.
I'm sure you'd be able to.
That would be a good
idea. Show the bottom of that console. I hope there's some kind
of
Nintendo like
port. But Nintendo never wanted to turn their consoles into computers. So.
But they might want to turn it into an iPad. and iPads you can get keyboards for. Who knows? We'll have to see what the future holds. I mean, it's got to have some connectability at the bottom because you're going to plug it into a dock.
Yeah.
Why not make full use of that? Someone's going to make a keyboard for it. Someone's going to make something that can click in there.
We should have known when we saw that handle back on the GameCube, Nintendo were going to take it one step further one day and actually have a console you can take around with you and still play on.
Only took them like almost, what, 15 years? Anyways, any more to say for you?
No,
you're excited.
I think
you're going
to
get it.
I'm excited. That trailer excited me. I wanted to watch it multiple times. I think it's fresh. It's exciting. It's a step in a new direction. Yeah.
I pre-ordered that motherfucker as soon as I got home from work. I literally went to GameStop and I said, can I pre-order a Nintendo Switch? To which the lady replied, what's a Nintendo Switch? And I said, oh, it's the new console. She's like, oh yeah, they're supposed to reveal it today, right? Okay. And then she was like, I can't find it. All I can find is the new 3DS and something called an NX. And I said, it'll be the NX. Just let me pre-order the NX. Mm. And she said, okay, well, your pre-order's in. And they had no price. The date they gave was the 26th of March, but that is a Sunday, so I doubt it's that.
Do you like the logo?
I do like the logo. I'm not up on this whole dog thing, but as you clearly pointed out, it kind of almost looks like a yin and yang symbol.
Yeah. It does. I don't know if that was intentional. It's got to be intentional. But it's nice. Switch, nice name.
I think it must be, right? It's got to be the symbolism of the home and handheld console now. It is
joining
the, it is
together.
The yin and yang of gaming.
It's got to be. That must have been the concept behind
yes.
it. And the controller, they do say, looks like a dog.
Yeah.
Actually looks like SpotBot. The old
yes,
toy.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does
So
much.
It doesn't necessarily look like a dog, but it looks like a toy
dog.
Version of a dog.
Looks like a digital dog. God, there's two names for podcasts right there. Yin and Yang, a digital dog. Hey, who knows which one it's going to be? Actually, you people listening to this. Ah, see, the process revealed to all. Anyway, Tom, what else have you been buying and playing other than furiously anticipating the Nintendo Switch?
Okay, so it's been fairly quiet for me on the gaming front just recently. I've been a very busy man. I've been back to the UK for a fantastic concert in Liverpool St George's Hall.
Yes.
I saw Divine Comedy along with my girlfriend.
So debatable on fantastic concert then.
It was fantastic, Matthew. I consider Neil Hannon to be one of our greatest songwriters in a long while.
And I can take him or leave him.
Yeah, the new album's great. I'm not here to talk about Divine Comedy, talk about what games I'm playing.
But yes.
Because I was very busy that weekend when I went back, I haven't played many games. I haven't played many games since coming back, other than my usual fare. So I enjoyed some multiplayer stuff with my friend Gareth. It's the usual. It's Worms. We Call of Duty. That's what we played last time. In fact, actually, when we went back, we played some other games. In the UK, I had I just got Outlaw Tennis. We played a bit of that. That was quite fun. It's really worthwhile. It's got a lot of breaks up the tennis quite a lot to show you funny cutscenes.
Yeah.
Most of the time, we just found ourselves skipping them. You know, occasionally, we'd watch them, but it was like, it's going to kind of want to play the tennis. But that's the draw of that game. That's what makes it unique. Ace Golf for the GameCube is really good.
Yeah.
If you want an alternative to Mario Golf, it has a more unique control system where you pull back on the C-stick to swing, but you must get a good motion. If you don't get it straight, then obviously that affects your shot.
Yes.
It's a fairly basic, bare-bones game, but it does play a good game of golf if that's something that interests you.
That's
we
cool.
also played through the first level of Time Splitters 2 cooperatively.
Okay.
Which is something I haven't done in a long time.
Me neither.
And it was a lot of fun, you know. There's a lot of good ideas in that game. I reminded me of the fact that if you get set on fire, there's a fire extinguisher around and the other character can spray you down. But at the time, that was a great game. Didn't realise, though, that some things were locked if you haven't played through enough of it. So we wanted to play the flame tag, which we always find good fun. But you say that's locked at the beginning, so we have
Are, right? Maps and characters, especially.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. But as I said on the podcast before, when I mentioned that I picked that up, it was because I wanted a good first-person multiplayer shooter for the GameCube.
And that is the best one.
It is the best one. Down history is the best one on the GameCube.
Yes.
Yeah, because everyone wanted a new GoldenEye, a new Perfect Dark, and they got this, which was the closest
thing. And now Sean GoldenEye still holds up, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a fantastic game. But, I was playing Pokemon. Really love Pokemon.
Yeah.
As you know, playing Pokemon Black and looking forward to the new one. I played the demo.
Is the demo? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, that's the big news, I guess. The demo. It's cool. It looks more like an anime than it ever has done. The graphics are great. The improvement even over Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire.
Yes.
We're using, I guess, the X and Y engine.
Now featuring Hansen as Dugtrio.
Oh, yeah. The new Pokemon versions, the Alola versions of the Pokemon, they're quite fun to see. But always it's the new monsters that interest me most.
Yeah, me too.
And yeah, I like the ones I've seen so far. I want to see more, for sure.
Some of them look like a bit of a mess to me. I'm not going to be...
Well, there'll always be some which aren't to everyone's liking.
Majority for me actually look a bit of a mess. But...
Yeah, I'm not sure about these Ultra beings which aren't Pokemon anymore.
Yeah.
The Mosquito... Muscle Man,
yeah,
and things like that. Maybe just need to get used to that. But they lack some of the character, I think
so
you
too.
Expect from Pokemon.
But then again, you see that in spades. Then when they've redone the old Pokemon, yeah. The Alola region, like the Rattata and stuff with the moustache, for me looks amazing.
Yeah, but what new things does it bring to the table? That's what we all want to know. And as well as a lovely new graphical overhaul. There's this thing called the Pokemon Pager or something. So you can call Pokemon to help you out. So you can use this pager to call a Tauros, like a taxi service. And you get on the Tauros. You ride it yourself, but it enables you to bash through barriers like boulders and such.
So I guess it's the equivalent of HM now is this Pokemon Pager.
Oh, yeah, it could be used in that sort of way. Areas are restricted.
Yeah.
Without, you know, calling the Pokemon to get on the back of and ride and get to places. There's the photography, which wasn't really much of an in-depth feature. Basically, you see a Pokemon, you take a photo of it, and then it comes out and attacks you because it shocks them. And then and you get an opportunity to catch it. But I couldn't zoom in. Maybe I didn't work out how to do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was kind of limited in a way, I felt.
That's a shame.
But maybe that will be expanded upon in the actual game.
Oh, fingers crossed.
Great new region to explore. It's tropical, which is nice. That's a nice change from the previous Pokemon games.
Yeah.
I like the new team Skull. They have a lot of personality, and the gangster types, you know, with their little masks on, and they're doing this.
Yeah.
I'm waving my arms around in a gangster-like fashion right now.
Oh, Tom looks so gangster. Take it from me.
And that made me chuckle a lot. It's got some good personality in there. It looks slightly more zoomed in than other Pokemon games, which I was a little concerned about, that it might be more difficult to actually get your bearings where you're going.
Yeah.
Because you can't see as far out as you normally would. I don't think it's going to be a major issue for the game, though, but it was something that was noticed as being quite different.
Okay.
The characters are a lot. I'd say that it's more like an anime, so they look more proportional, like you'd expect a young person to look. Not as squished and
chibi looking.
Yes, as the previous Pokemon games, and that's fine. You know, that's good. I don't mind that.
Yeah,
great first impressions of the game. I have to say,
that's cool.
Yeah, it does enough.
Yeah,
there's quite a lot to make it feel a little bit fresher.
Cool. Any more for any more?
In terms of games I've been playing, no. What about yourself?
Well, I've been actually pretty in-depth with two of the newer releases on the PS4 in this insane lead-up to Christmas.
Mm.
Obviously, as we talked about in the last podcast, I went out and immediately bought Dragon Quest Builders, which actually came out here on the Friday, unfortunately, not the Tuesday like I suspected originally.
We talked about it last week, didn't we?
We did.
Briefly.
And I played that demo, I loved it. I played the game for something like 20-something hours, I think. I'm pretty much over halfway through now. Mm. I really like it. One tarnish on an otherwise perfect record for me in this game is after I had defeated the first major boss in the game,
mm-hmm.
a beam of light shot down from the sky in the same way it does as when you raise your flag. And then it's like, oh, well, yeah, cool, you can go through this beam of light and everything you've built and done up until this point will now be lost and you leave it for the people who you saved the town of. And I'm like, what the fuck? I spent like 10 hours making this town.
And
what
it's gone
mean?
Forever. You can't return to it.
I can literally load up my old save if I want to, but there's no point because I can't do anything there that I couldn't do already.
So you sort of learn a lesson not to invest too much time into a single place because
that's
you're going to have
sad.
To move on from it eventually.
I that first town I made, as you can see, I on the stream I did at the time, I made an underground river and I did all of this cool stuff, and then it was all for naught, really. There's not really any reason for me to have done all that and gone in depth with it other than for my own enjoyment, which I did. But it's kind of sad that I wanted to watch that town grow, but within the limitations of that game, I can understand why that wouldn't happen. Which is a bit sad, because I'm now on the third world, like I said, and the second world was just like, oh, well, you didn't really have any metals or you didn't really have any stones, so you just kind of had to do with a shitty town anyway, which is kind of interesting because it made me have a degree of separation. But I almost preferred that second chapter first, because the first showed me all the possibilities of what you could do, and then I had to leave them behind, and then I was severely limited
them away
in the second
from you
chapter.
In the second,
It was very weird. But it's a really enjoyable game. Combat's not amazing, as I've previously said, but
I can imagine it's quite simplistic, the combat.
Yeah, it's very Zelda-like to some respect. The main protagonist sounds very much like Link. He does the yeah! And all of these noises.
That was very good.
Thank you. and he acts in the same way, but it's a lot of the combat, to be honest with you. You can kind of dance around it quite a bit of, hey, I know I can hit this guy three times because the enemies repeat, because obviously they drop materials. So there needs to be a degree of, hey, we're going to reiterate the same enemies, because you need to know, hey, I can get a horn from this guy, which I can use to make a warhammer, or I can do this and that, which I perfectly accept. It's perfectly fine with me, but it's like, okay, cool. I know I can hit this giant slime twice. And then it's going to do a charge attack on me, so I'll hit it twice, I'll jump out of the way of its attack, it'll charge, and that'll be fine, and I'll hit it twice again. It gets a bit repetitive in some respects, but you get better swords and better weapons and stuff, so obviously you can just, you can hit them and then two hit kills or whatever, as opposed to the five originally, yada yada yada. Basically RPG formula. But I'm really liking it, it's still keeping my interest despite this. I'm actually found now in the third chapter that I'm very efficient at setting up a town to have all I need in it. Which I think what the game should really teach you from the off, rather than being precious with your town and making sure, like, I demolished walls that were different colours.
It's not Animal Crossing.
It's not so much, but it is in a lot of other respects. It's also very Harvest Moon. So it scratches that itch. I am doing fetch quests, but I don't feel the same levels of attachment to my things as I do in Animal Crossing. This game apparently sold like hotcakes in Japan. So I'm hoping it will get a second one. Apparently it's doing all right here as well.
What's it available on? Just PS4?
Just PS4. Vita, I believe, but I may be only a digital version of Vita. I haven't seen a physical copy. If I do, I'll pick it up because I'd love to be able to play this game on the go as well. But, yeah, PS4 and Vita, from my understanding, no other console. But, hey, it's a good game. I really like it. I hope it comes to Switch and its sequel does as well, because if I, as I said, if I could pick this up and play it on the go as well, I think it would be great.
We're going to get Dragon Quest games on Switch.
I assume so. I mean, got 7 just now, and we're going to get 8 next year on the 3DS, so I assume that partnership
it
will carry on.
It was very reassuring to see all the developers that will be working
Atlas,
with that console.
Totally fine with that. Persona 5 on that
they
console
would
be amazing.
They were all there. Namco,
too.
Bandai, Capcom, all the big...
From Software.
EA, of course.
Ubisoft.
Ubisoft.
But I mean,
Warner.
They were... A lot of these companies were still there at the front of the Wii U, right? So let's take it with
a
pinch of salt.
Warner did a lot on the Wii U, didn't they?
But I mean, TT was prominent there, and obviously...
I'm thinking of the Injustice game as well.
Injustice, Batman, obviously.
Yeah, Batman.
I mean, Ubisoft did as well. Things like Assassin's Creed games and Watch Dogs and Rayman, Child of Light.
Yeah.
A lot of things came out. I think the only one that kind of really dropped the ball, which kind of set it in bad form, was EA. But I mean... The ports to that console aren't the best versions of them anyway.
I thought Starbreeze Studios on there, Tecmo Koei will be on it, so they might do another Dynasty Warriors game. Zelda, sorry.
You know what would be fun, actually, if they did like a Mario Dynasty Warriors game? I wouldn't mind like being a superpower Mario, like running around and throwing fireballs at loads of Goombas. I think
that
actually
could
be pretty fun.
Or Dead Alive.
Hey, why not? Other than that, I played a little bit of Battlefield 1, which you actually witnessed me doing.
It looks like Battlefront. It's because I haven't played a lot of Battlefield 4, so when I saw Battlefield 1, I thought, oh, it looks like Battlefront.
Which was my problem with Battlefront of, oh, this looks like Battlefield. And for my money, not as robust as Battlefield was. It seems interesting. The single player stuff,
exactly,
I think, for me, will be the main draw. Multiplayer, as always, feels a lot like Battlefield, and hey, Overwatch exists, and Overwatch means a much funner game. I will obviously be playing this game now on forever on a Tuesday, but I'm hoping to switch in a bit
looks
of battle.
Looks great. I mean, it really does feel like you're in a gritty battlefield, as it should.
Yes.
I suppose. You'd expect this now from EA and this and DICE. The Frostbite engine creates some very realistic-looking games. And
yes.
We were talking about you're in a forest, and you said about the aspects. Yeah. Like, oh, it looks like Endor. So, well, they probably used the same leaves and such and trees that they used in that game.
I reckon.
And the overall presentation, they've now sort of aligned that. I don't know if it was aligned from the beginning. Was it Battlefield?
No, it wasn't. No. They did it with Battlefront, and then at some point they reintroduced that into Battlefield.
Yeah.
And now, obviously, it's across all things.
They all sort of work together, and you can press a button, you can open up a menu where you can see your progress on all of the games in that series. Not Battlefront. They don't deem that as part of this exactly. But both Battlefields and Hardline.
The interesting thing from this, though, is I literally had to delete Battlefield 4 to install this on my console.
Space.
But then it looked like I could still play Battlefield 4 multiplayer, which I'm kind of curious about. Because if that's the case, it's like, okay, cool. I wouldn't mind playing a bit more Battlefield 4. I quite like that game.
To try that. I doubt it. It probably asks you to install the game again.
It looked like I could do it. It looked like I could launch
a game. You think Battlefield 4 comes with it?
Maybe. They said coming soon on Hardline as well, so maybe they're also trying to introduce that. I don't know. If so, I mean, that's amazing value. Yeah. But then again, they've been selling those games for like 37 kroner on the store. It's like £4. So maybe it is. Maybe it is just included now. Maybe they're putting all that under one ecosystem.
I guess the draw of this game over Battlefield 4 is now you're playing World War One, so the weapons are a lot different.
Yes.
What other new things do they bring to the table?
Much more of a narrative-driven story. I mean, that introduction that you saw that I was playing was very much focused on the idea of how many people died in World War One and how hard and tragic it was. It
doesn't paint a pretty picture.
No, it does not. As you were saying, it was just like, oh, war, you know?
Yeah, yeah, it did make me think that. This is just,
it's not the kind of fantasy warfare that you're used to. I mean, even saying fantasy warfare is such a stupid concept.
But it
doesn't,
you can get caught up in it and enjoy, obviously, the game. It's not that. But at the same time, it reminds you every so often of the tragedy that is war.
Definitely, and I mean, this isn't focusing on, you know, the light aspect of war of, fun, you're running around shooting people, but it's all fun and games, laddie-da.
Realistic,
very gritty and very realistic.
But I like the idea you play several different characters and several different parts of the world, what was going on at the time and wherever. It gives you lots of different areas.
As you said, like a Mega Man game.
The story seems to, you can choose which bit you do in
first,
what order.
Yeah.
That's quite nice.
That'd be interesting. The premium pass is only £36, something like that, around that mark.
Well,
I mean,
like
as I thought I was going to be forking out £100 for this game, I'm kind of relieved that it's a little bit cheaper than I thought. And actually, this was a gift, so I didn't pay for it. My girlfriend treated me to a copy of Battlefield 1, so that's nice. So,
but it's no different than the season pass for Battlefront.
No,
it's
isn't. It's
price.
Shit. But I mean, if I look at it now, I paid Marta paid 400 kroner for this, which means that this is going to be a £70 purchase now, rather than the PS4 store had the, hey, buy the season pass and the content and whatever, and it was like over 1,000 kroner. So I'm saving around, I'm saving another game's worth to what I expected to pay, which is nice.
Big commitment.
It is.
Want to get into it.
But I mean, I'm going to be playing this game for a long time now. And fortunately, Overwatch does it right. And it's just like, hey, any other characters and maps we add, they're free. You've bought the game.
Yeah.
So
that's nice.
I would rather support that business model. But lo and behold, we live in a world where I and a lot of our colleagues want to play Battlefield 1. So what the fuck can you do? I'm going to hold out as long
and
as I can.
EA aren't going to change their...
No, of course they're not. I mean, it's the equivalent of them. These new season passes are like the online codes and everything else.
They're not the only ones who do it, to be fair.
No, definitely not.
Because every game's been a bloody season pass nowadays.
Yes, it does.
Apart from Overwatch and whatever.
God
else.
Bless you, Blizzard.
I haven't been playing any more. Have you?
I went over to our good friend Mateo's house, and we were talking about old games, and he had a USB controller and maybe some dubious legally emulated things. Who knows? Who's to say? But I played a bit of Sunset Riders and played a bit of a game called Biometal, which I'd never played before. Sunset Riders, of course, cowboy, side-scrolling co-op game where you shoot things in the Wild Wild West. Jim West, Desperado, Rough Rider. No, you don't want nada. That's the second Will Smith reference to the podcast. And had a good time doing that. And then I played a bit of Biometal, which is a...
Biometal.
Yeah, it's a shmup where you are a...
Oh, I love it when you say shmup.
I know, it actually should be shump, but
say
I think shmup sounds better.
Say it again.
Shmup instead of shump. Anyways, it is developed by Japanese company Athena, who made many JRPGs and stuff JRPGs. Back in the day, as well as other... Mm-hmm. I may have made a fighting game or two as well, actually, now I think about it, but I can't think of what they are offhand. But they made this game called Biometal, and essentially it is a side-scrolling shooter, and you're flying around trying to kill every... possible rip-off of a Giga-esque alien character as you possibly can.
Nice.
That's why it's Biometal, Tom, because they look like alien ships. And everything looks like a xenomorph, but like an organic ship.
Sounds
kind
good.
Of fun. Unique mechanic to the game is the fact that you press B button and have a shield, and you can use that shield as a weapon, but obviously it's on a timer, so you can make it expand like a bomb, or you can shoot it forward to destroy things.
What do you
things.
Say it was on the Super Nintendo?
It is on the Super Nintendo. Not the Sega Genesis. When I was a young man, I couldn't picture this. That's Biggie Smalls. That's not Will Smith. I'm
really?
Getting way too far away, yeah. Oh. That's a song called Juicy.
You know that.
It's all good, baby. I played that, and I think that's pretty much it, to be honest. I played a bit of Vatel Geese, which is a side-scrolling shooter as well for the Game Boy. But a review will go up on that on Biographic before this podcast launches. It's because it was only ever released in Japan. They never released it outside of there. And to pronounce it in the katakana as it is written is Vatorogisa, which they tried to phoneticize into English, and Vatorgis is the name that they gave it, and that's just it doesn't make
you
it
said
sound
it, just
cool.
Like I'd imagine the Japanese announcer Vatorogisa. To sound.
Yeah, well, fortunately, we have some Japanese-speaking colleagues, and I asked them, what does this say on the back of the box? Can you tell me how to pronounce this? And they were like, Vatorogisa. So, yeah, anyways, played a bit of that, but like I said, there'll be a Biographic up at the end of the week when this podcast goes live, so that'll be a Sunday. Anyways, this podcast is 50 minutes long, so you've been buying anything else, or is that
well, yes,
for you?
Well, yes, I'll briefly mention that I picked up Aquapazza, or Parza, or whatever you'd like to call it. That's a PS3 fighting game. It wasn't released in Europe, to my knowledge, but it got a US release, so it's in English.
Yes.
Oh, it's nice. Not, you know, necessary for a fighting game, I don't think, but it was a reasonable price. That was £20. So I picked that one up. I picked up... Now, it's got a longer title, but I can't remember the first part of it. So,
okay.
Fighting Climax.
Yes.
This game was available, I noticed, on the PlayStation 3 store for about £16.
Yeah.
I actually got it a bit cheaper than I thought. I got it for £15.
Okay.
This is a Japanese version of the game, though. Unfortunately, the American English language one goes for twice that. So, yeah, happy to have that one.
Is this on the PS3 or the PS4? Sorry.
PS3. The PS4 version of it, though, as well, I think.
Okay.
It was advertised in... what's it called? The one you got me?
Blade Arcus.
Blade Arcus.
It's called Dengeki Bunko Fighting
Climax. I'm not sure if PS4 version is an improved version of the PS3 game. It probably is.
I would assume so.
Yeah. It's also available on Vita. The next game I picked up was Naruto Rise of the Ninja for the 360. This is an adventure Naruto game. I was picked up its sequel, Naruto Broken Bond, for the 360.
Okay.
So these are, I think, developed by Ubisoft.
Yes.
Yes.
Or at least published by.
Or at least published by, yeah.
I think it's actually a Japanese studio that makes
they
them.
They look really good. I've not had an opportunity to play them yet, but graphically they look very much like the anime. They're very bright and colourful. And I look forward to playing an adventure game within the Naruto world.
Yes.
From the very beginning, because that's still where I'm at, near the beginning of the story, when I'm watching the anime. So
I can see buying it now. Well, actually, no, isn't this an auction copy that no one's bid on of Fighting Climax for 130 kroner for in English?
Well, you know, there's always going to be deals.
Actually, you can buy the Hong Kong version, the PS4 version as well, which is in English for $40.
Yeah. But you know what it's like with eBay, deals change.
Yeah, that's true.
I was thinking to myself the other day.
Don't do that, it's dangerous.
I've got
about every sports game I could want on the 360.
Right.
I actually recently picked up NBA 2K7.
Have you started buying baseball games? Is that what you're about to tell me?
No, there's not many baseball games that are available to, I don't think.
No.
But yeah, I wanted, as well as having NBA Street, I wanted to get a more traditional basketball game. So I picked that up and I thought, I haven't got a volleyball game yet. So what volleyball games are on 360?
Are they volleyball? Well, other than Dead or Alive Extreme Volleyball.
I had to pick up Dead or Alive Extreme.
I'm sure that's the reason.
No, I don't like the game. I've played, Gareth got it. And I think it's actually a step down from the last one.
Yeah, I would agree
but,
on that.
In my completistness, I needed a volleyball game. It's the only one available. It can't be that bad. But
yeah,
I remember not being as good as the other one. And a game, I re-picked up a game I already had, well, and sold. That's Jedi Knight Jedi Academy for the Xbox. I saw it reasonably cheap. I thought, why not? It's Star Wars, you know. But I sold my other Jedi Academy because I thought, well, I haven't finished the one before that, Jedi Knight 2.
Yeah.
The likelihood of me playing Jedi Academy is very slim at this rate. And it's the same thing I did with Knights of the Old Republic 2. I sold that because I didn't finish the first one. But now, you know, it was cheap and I thought, well, I'll just get it.
I've beaten that game. It's all right. It's not as good as Jedi Knight 2, in my opinion. But hey, you get to see Luke Skywalker. I think it's actually voiced by Mark Hamill as well.
Do you? Luke Skywalker's in there. I didn't know.
He is the person who founded the Jedi Academy.
Of course. Makes sense.
The title, yeah.
Makes sense.
And what? Yeah.
Yep.
Fun and games.
Fun and games. So that's it. I haven't bought anything else. I've been looking at the PlayStation Store and seen a few things that are of interest. I'd like to play Layers of Fear. I think that looks like it could be an interesting game.
Yes.
That's on sale at the minute. I wanted to play the new Resident Evil 7 demo, but it's only for VR, so...
Yeah. Oh, actually, funny you should mention that. I almost forgot to mention. I bought game.com.
Oh, yeah. What reminded you of that, then?
Because you said Resident Evil 7, and there's Resident Evil 2 on the game.com, which I also bought yesterday.
Resident Evil 2 on the game.com. What that's
But it's a train wreck. But it came with Batman and Robin and Lights Out, the old Tiger electronic.
I've heard it's hard to see what's happening.
Yeah, I've heard the same thing, but hey, we'll find out, won't we?
Yeah, the game.com being a handheld machine for those.
Yeah, made by Tiger Electronics in the late 90s.
And Tiger were probably more famous for doing their one-off handheld games.
Yes.
Based upon
various
I've
actually
franchises.
Played a game.com before now. A friend of mine who lived across the street had one. And I don't remember it really being that bad a console.
It's no Atari Lynx.
I remember it actually kind of blowing me away a little bit at the time because it almost felt like a PDA because there are a lot of like, you can set your calendar and your date
Let's see
time.
If you're still as impressed with you were back then.
I'm sure it's a pile of shit, Tom. There's a reason there was only 20 games released on the thing. Mm. But yeah, we'll figure that out. We'll see how it is. But fun and games. It's a new collection.
Dear. You're really going to go for it? Complete game.com collection.
20 games. I've got two of them.
Are there
already.
Any ones that are extremely rare?
To get boxed, I believe Wheel of Fortune 2 is pretty hard to get all of.
Wheel of
but
Fortune.
But I'm not going for box games, because who gives a fuck about Tiger.com. All right, that's enough sing song. Is that it from you?
Yeah.
Then that's it from me. Okay, you can find us in a variety of places, ladies and gentlemen, such as on Twitter at TMAcast. You can always listen to this podcast in a variety of places as well, such as on blastprocess.com, tomamattattack.com/podcast, as well as on Stitcher and the wonderful iTunes store.
We've got all your listening bases covered.
If you go over there, you should give us a cheeky rate and subscribe, because it's only fair. You listen
don't
to
be
our
too
audio
cheeky
devices
now.
And that's all we want. Yeah, just... Yeah, don't be too cheeky. Be kind. And anywhere else, Tom's video of the Switch commercial is up on the Blast Process YouTube site
well.
Blast Process, what is it? It's on Toodlebug 500.
It's Tom, my personal YouTube. Yeah.
He was so proud of it, he put his name on it.
Yeah.
That's the Tom Parry seal of approval. Okay, that's it then, I guess. We will be back next week, and the week after that, I assume, because you're not buggering off home, and I'm here as well.
Oh,
yay!
Wow, no, I'm here.
We can actually podcast. Isn't that fun? Yeah, so we'll be coming into your ears with audio delights up until Christmas. Isn't that good?
That's very exciting.
Yeah, cool. Okay, let us know about what you think about that there, Switch, and obviously comment on Tom's video as well, if you do that. And until next week, everybody, Game on.
Game on.